right, and 5-4. Oh, hold on, it's a long one. 5-4-3-2.
Welcome. Welcome to day two of back to school here at Coldwater. I want to thank Raise for Duration, Mixed Sports and Ernst Apparel, Claymore Lanes and Adventure Golf, and Laudix Jewelry. And we're going to sort of pick up, you know, where we left off yesterday with Aaron Alec back on the program. Still talking wrestling, Aaron, but this is guys wrestling now, right?
Correct. So we got both boys and girls wrestling. Girls is a club, but the guys is an actual school team. So I brought 4 of my 5 senior boy wrestlers here with us today.
All right. And I understand we're going to get to meet them. And we have some royalty today.
Yeah, that's right.
So let's begin. Share with us your name and, what grade you're in.
My name is Trent Westerdis. I'm a senior at Coldwater High School.
Excellent. And, Trent, how long have you been wrestling?
I've been wrestling since 7th grade.
Okay.
So 6 years.
All right. What I'm going to do, a couple things here. I'll have you move a little bit closer to that microphone there and kind of talk directly into it, kind of like we are here. There we go. And share with us, what got you into wrestling in the first place?
So I've had an older brother, you know, we always used to, like, play fight around, and that kind of sparked my interest.
Excellent. And so when you talk about that, getting into wrestling, was it everything you thought it was going to be, or was it a little harder?
It's a little harder, you know. I didn't really, know about, like, weight cuts and that stuff. That's always been a tricky part for me. Like getting nutrition and diet down.
I can imagine. What are some of the challenges with nutrition and diet? Do you think it might be fair to say, that's more of a challenge, I think, than it would be in other sports because they weigh you and that sort of thing?
Yeah. One thing that always concerns me is water weight, because a bottle of water weighs a pound, and that'll make you overweight if you're really close. So you gotta. It's not only nutrition; it's water too.
Oh, excellent. So when my doctor tells me to lose weight, I'll just say it's all water. That's not, I know, that's not going to work. I know. Just throw that out there. But for you also, we talk about discipline. I mean, I'm sure, especially with food, temptation is everywhere. Do you have those moments where you have to look at something and go, oh, that would sure taste nice, but nope, I can't do that.
Yeah, that's right. It's always hard.
What's the hardest food to cut out, Trent?
It's not necessarily the hardest food. It's the proportions that really get you.
Yeah, I understand that one, too. When they talked about kind of fill your plate, right?
Yeah.
I thought it would work if I just got a bigger plate. But that also does not work either. So there's a reason I don't coach wrestling. This is stuff I come up with. But for you, talk, if you would, about your success in wrestling. How has that been in your career?
So freshman year, kind of got thrown out into the fire, nobody else in the weight class. So I got to start all 3 years so far, qualified for districts twice.
Excellent. Good for you. How far would you like to take this? So what are you going to do after high school?
Like job wise?
Yeah. Your career, everything.
So I plan on, I'm in TriStar right now. So I'm in construction, so I plan on going into the workforce, working for, like, some type of field in construction.
Do you think you already maybe have a job lined up? Have you talked to some companies?
Yeah, I definitely, yeah.
I want to throw that in there because I think that's such a big part of the TriStar story, that so many people graduate and they're, they have potential employers already calling you going, hey, are you graduated yet? We need you, right? They need help, so.
Yeah.
Good for you. We wish you a lot of success. Appreciate that.
Thanks.
Now, I understand, Coach, you got another wrestler we're going to talk to, so we'll give you time to get him situated. And, first of all, just would like to welcome you aboard and share with us, what's your name and what grade are you in?
I'm Brady Hamilton, and I'm a senior.
All right, Brady, a senior. How long have you been wrestling?
I think around your second or third grade is when I started.
Really? What got you started so young?
I just knew my dad did it, and one of the coaches asked me if I was willing to start being a wrestling manager, and I said, sure, why not?
Excellent. So for you, was success, like right away, or did it take you some time yet?
I mean, it definitely took some time. And like when I was a manager, my brother ended up managing with me and a couple other guys. We just always follow the practice plan and do our own little practice and wrestle all the time. So.
Excellent. When you look back over your career, what are some of the highlights? And did you learn even from some disappointments along the way?
I mean, definitely. I'd say probably the biggest thing is districts last year. I mean, I ended up placing, but also still disappointed that came up short of really the end goal.
Do you also find that people mean well when they say, hey, don't be disappointed, you did great? And,
yeah.
And the reality is you did do great, but hey, you're shooting for the top, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's also where you always want to do better, right?
Yep.
That's probably right. Right, Coach? I mean, that's where you try to, work with them and say, look, I understand you're disappointed, but give yourself some credit. Look how far you got, right?
Correct. It's hard to always stay positive. Brady is one of the top 10 ranked wrestlers in his weight class last year. But when we got to districts, it was the toughest district in probably the entire state, especially in his weight class, because the four guys that qualified, they take the top four out of each weight class. Those top four guys at our district last year in his weight class were also the top four wrestlers in the state. They placed 1, 2, 3, and 4. And Brady was right there with them. The guy that got, I believe, third, Brady was actually beating until the very end. It was a toe touch away from him being in that guy's spot. Instead, it ended up against us. But use that as fuel for the next year, and hopefully we shoot for the top.
All right, and Brady, for you, what are your plans someday?
I am also in TriStar as well in the construction program, and I'll probably just go straight into the workforce.
Oh, right. How about that? So pretty good thing you got going here, Coach. Come in, learn some wrestling, go into construction.
That's right. They're hard workers, so they're definitely a good line of work for them.
All right. Let's meet our next athlete, because I know we got, four of you here, so we want to make sure everybody gets a chance to talk. And so first of all, share with us your name and your grade.
I'm Gavin Kuhn, and I'm a senior.
All right, Gavin, for you, what is it about wrestling you enjoy so much?
The relationships you build with your practice partners and just the community.
And how about also, when you look back on it, were there, some things about it that are kind of challenging that maybe are not your favorite parts of the sport?
Definitely losing. Losing is probably one of the worst things about the sport.
I can imagine. And also, have there been some times where maybe you lost to a wrestler, but you learned from it and then won the next time?
Yeah, I've definitely been in that position before.
In as far as, either losing or winning, with class, do you also, I know you're excited when you do win. Is there also kind of a congratulations to your opponent on a good match?
Yeah, if it is, yeah.
Oh, right. That's a thing, Coach. I'm sure you probably teach him that this is sport. It's really not personal, right? I mean, you just have to get out there and it's competition, right?
We always do what Coach Houghton says, shake it off, get ready for the next one. It is neat seeing the kids bond with other wrestlers. It's almost like their own little club, if you will. And they, kids from other schools, they tend to get real close with just because, you're at these tournaments all day. They get to make a lot of friends. But then you got to go out on the mat and you got to put that behind you and just, try to kick some butt.
And here's a question also I've been asking everybody. Can you share with us your own future plans?
I'm also in construction. And
of course you are, yes.
I'd like to enter the workforce right after high school.
Do you guys all go to TriStar together? Is that?
Okay. Yeah.
Excellent. Appreciate that. Now we got one more, right, Coach? We want to make sure
we got one more here. Aiden,
yeah, I want to
Aiden
make sure
Birch.
Everybody gets their opportunity to share with us. So, also a senior, right?
Yep.
All right. How long have you been wrestling?
This will be my sixth year.
Sixth year. Okay. What got you into it to start off with?
Really, I just thought, why not? There was an opportunity to do it, so I took it.
All right. For you, what kind of training do you have to do to stay in shape? Like, what's a typical day for you like?
Inside of wrestling, just practice every weekday. But outside, I do other sports, like cross. And when that's not happening, I go to the gym and go on runs.
Excellent. What's some of the success you've had in your career?
You've won a couple tournaments.
I've won a couple tournaments, placed at a few more So that's about it.
All right. For you, as if I don't probably know, what are your future plans someday?
Hopefully, I can go be an aerospace engineer.
Oh, okay. This is
he's the one that's not in construction here. All
right. The rebel. I found him. Right. what will your education path look like to do that?
What type of classes are you in now, Aiden?
I'm in a lot of science and math classes, mostly geared towards engineering.
You're taking a lot of AP classes too, right?
I'll tell you what, that's some talent. He can do complicated math formulas, and he can pin you to the mat all in one shot there. So good for you. Coach, appreciate seeing you again. Looks like you're not only training wrestlers and coaching wrestlers, but you got some great future citizens here too, don't you?
They're all good kids. Appreciate it, Kevin.
We appreciate getting to talk to you, Coach. Thanks again.
Yep, have
Thanks
a great
for coming.
Day. Thank you.
I want to thank our sponsors, including TNT Auto, Schwederman Construction, and Risch Plumbing, along with Enyart Interior Touch. Hey, we are back here for Back to School at Coldwater. I am Kevin Sandler. I want to thank TNT Auto, Schwederman Construction, Risch Plumbing, and Enyart Interior Touch, along with Hogan Camp Funeral Home. I have with me Denise Peterson, the drama and music teacher here at Coldwater. For quite a few years, right? About 25, 26
now,
right?
Yeah, this is number 31.
31, okay. Yeah. I knew it was in that neighborhood some there. So for you, if you can share with us, you do drama and music. Let's kind of talk about the music here for a moment, because everybody knows you do, production and what have you. What all do you do with the music?
So I'm the music teacher for K through 4, so I do all the general music. So basically I get them from the time they come into the elementary and I start teaching them those fundamentals. So we work on the beat, we work on rhythm, we work on matching pitch, that kind of stuff. And then as they get older, we just keep developing that. And hopefully by the time they leave me in fourth grade, they're really good beat keepers. Excuse me, a frog. And really good singers.
Excellent. And so, and do you sing yourself? I never asked you that.
I do. I do a lot in class, but I don't really do anything out in public anymore. I used to sing here or there. I sang, like, when my husband and I got married, I sang at our wedding. I used to be in some competitions and do things when I was in high school, solo and ensemble, but I was a piano player, so... Really? I, did a lot more with that. My major in college, my major instrument was piano, but...
Do you still play a lot, or...?
No, to my husband's dismay. I do what I need to in class, but I really don't have time to just sit down, although he always says that's an excuse, but... It takes a lot of, I'm getting older. My fingers don't move quite as much well as they used to.
I know that feeling. But, he's such a great guy. He's encouraging you, right?
He does, and I appreciate that. Maybe when I retire, I'll pick it back up. I'll have more downtime.
Maybe you'll be playing piano and singing and all that stuff.
You never know.
That's really, any other instruments you play, or is that?
I had to learn some in college, but my main one is just singing and playing piano.
And so for people, if they have not had you as a teacher, they may not have known that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Pretty neat. And when you get them for music, I can see that that's going to accomplish two things. One, other music teachers here at the school will appreciate that you got them started. But also, you're teaching them to sing, and that's going to serve you well when you get them when they're older for your stage productions.
Yes, exactly. It's kind of nice because, I have them, from kindergarten on. So it's a neat opportunity to kind of help them to develop, and then hopefully they have that want to continue on and do the drama productions and things like that. I have performances I do with each grade level, not just for that reason. It's a good experience for them to get on stage, even if it's just to be part of the group and stand on the risers and sing, because it kind of helps build that confidence. But it also helps for me to see, what these kids can do, and we have a lot of fun when we're doing the performances. So,
And isn't that what it's all about?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, a little bit of jitters is okay, but you got to be having some fun, or I guess you're not doing it right.
Yes, like third grade right now is working on a production. We were just having practices this morning. They have their performance coming up on October 30th. I'm already in November.
I understand.
Rihanna's getting married here coming up, too. So I have, shows and wedding and all kinds of stuff going on.
And happy belated birthday to her.
Yes.
And, that's the thing, when we talk about some of your productions, how the they get a little more intricate as they get older. I know when you bring in the elementary, you're doing a lot of the junior productions. They're not as long, maybe not as many songs. You're kind of trying to get their feet wet, right?
Yes. Yes, and it's usually a fun way of doing that, too. You know, and I try to find a show that's going to grab the attention of a lot of students to get them involved, even if it's just being in that group setting, because not everybody wants to be the star on the stage, but they, you know, want to be on stage and do something. So they're happy being, you know, like we're doing Frozen this year. So they're happy to be in that snow course or to be in, you know, a townsperson or something like that. Or as my high schoolers like to joke around, tree number three.
Yeah, there you go. And that's, you know, you also teach them about the commitment of it, too. I mean, this isn't something you can do casually. Like, if you have a show coming up in November, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you've probably been working on it months and months and months, you know?
Yeah, Frozen, we started back in the spring with auditions so we could start practicing the, you know, first full week of school. So we've been practicing since August for that show. High school's been practicing since August for their show.
Yeah, and that's... I think people don't understand, even, you know, even when they film a movie, even, right? The first thing they do, the cast gets together, they read the script sitting down.
Yep.
Then they start, you know, rehearsing. Then they do dress rehearsing before they even bother trying to, I was going to say waste film, but nobody uses that anymore. But, you know, but before they really are doing it for real, that's not the first time they've tried that material either,
correctly,
right?
Yes. And, you know, so we have a lot of practices. And I, like high school, we did read through the script for their upcoming play. Elementary, I don't really do that as much anymore, but we start right in just because I have 100 students that are in the show, so I have 100 cast members, so I need to keep them busy, and we can't just be sitting around doing, so they were already up moving and singing and dancing and all kinds of stuff early on. So
and also when you were you know, kind of coming along like younger in your career, what kind of inspired you to be a teacher, and not just to be a teacher, but to do this? Sounds like music's been in your life all your life.
Well, I've always wanted to play piano ever since I was probably before I was even in elementary school. And my parents finally gave me a choice when I was going into fifth grade. You know, when you have to choose if you want to be in band or, you know, choir, what you're going to do. And I wanted to do band, but I wasn't allowed to do band and piano, so I chose piano. And just from doing that and being with my piano teacher that I had, she inspired me actually to be a teacher. And that sounds kind of weird because she wasn't a classroom teacher, but I had a really awesome first grade teacher and sixth grade teacher, Diane Gunner, who really inspired me to be that teacher. But I wanted to do music because of my piano teacher. So that's kind of where that came from. And then just the theatrics probably was Dave Van Tilburg from Salina,
and
honestly.
You know, say once your career got going, I know you had colleagues over the years that were probably your mentors, your friends, all that, right?
Yes. You know, Dave, who was my choir teacher and drama director when I was in high school, actually now is like someone I can go to and just ask advice and talk to, which is, you know, really nice to have someone like that. Judd Lehman was always one that was an awesome, you know, we were classmates and he was, you know, a great person to talk to, and he was always involved in drama before his passing. And
I was going to say, if only he were still with us, I bet he would have ate this up to do back to school, right?
Oh, yeah, he would have.
The fun we would have had.
he would have had a great time with it.
And the other thing about him, too, was if he had an opinion or something was on your mind, you would know about it.
Oh, yes,
I always
did.
Respected that. So.
Yes, he always would let you know what he was thinking at any point in time.
And not only that, but I remember a couple years ago, you pulled off something that I thought, you know, that this was quite a task. You actually put on The Outsiders.
Yes.
And that could not have been easy to do on the stage.
It
right?
wasn't. And it was a very special book for Judd. He was an English teacher as well. And that was a book he taught every year. My kids learned it, you know, and did that book with him in school. And I just wanted to do something to kind of attribute to Judd. So it was a challenge, but then it also was more of a challenge because of the emotional aspect of it.
It was. And that's a book that I feel stands up because its themes are so deep.
Yes.
I mean, that, you know, where you talk about, you know, the economic and social divide between these kids, and that one scene where Ponyboy and the one social, I'm sorry, I forgot his name. But
I can't even think of it right now.
They're in the car, they're talking, and they realize, you know, if it wasn't for all of this, we probably would be friends.
Exactly.
Right?
You know? Yeah. And, you know, and that's a very true statement even today. I mean, if you look around the real world, that's it's still a social economic kind of thing a lot of times.
Yeah. and back when S.A. Hinton wrote that book, that's when you used to hear that expression like, the wrong side of the tracks,
yeah,
and all
exactly.
that stuff, right?
Yep.
So
yep.
That's pretty neat. Plus, it took place in kind of the 50s, so everybody yeah. got to dress like that. That had
yeah.
to be fun.
Which was fun. It was fun. It was neat to come up with different ideas. Not as hard as you would think it is. Like, you know, even like this year we're doing a play. We're doing Sherlock Holmes, The Baker Street Irregulars, which is set in 1890. You'd think that would be a little bit more challenging, but Newsies last year was also in
yes.
1890. So even though this one's in England and Newsies is in New York, we have a lot of the same stuff.
I think
stuff.
If you get the coat and the hat and the magnifying glass, you've got Sherlock down pretty
down.
Well,
yep.
right?
And guess what? We pretty much have that.
Of course you do. Course do you have a Watson?
We do have a Watson.
Oh, elementary, my dear.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's funny, even if somebody's never read a single book or a single, you know, Sherlock movie, they know that line, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly. Yes.
Kind of funny how that works. So, and they were making Sherlock movies since the beginning of the dawn of cinema.
I know, and now they have a series.
They do. It's still going.
It is. I just saw a commercial for the premiere of the new series coming out.
I think the original was it Basil Rathbone, I think, was the original Sherlock. Or close to it. I'm
could
not sure.
Be.
Something like that. So all right. And it's always good to see you. And I know you're going to be back later this week because
yep.
we're going to do Sherlock Holmes. And
yes.
what's neat is we're going to do kind of like you do when you're on Spectrum, like a full half hour
yes.
Where we're going to talk to you, talk to the cast. Probably because you're in school, you can bring more cast.
Yes, I'm kind of hoping to be able to do that because, you know, they'll be right here. So
yeah.
I want to make sure they fit in that half hour as well. So
that will be fun. That'll also maybe even be around the time they usually do the thing where it's like before the football game.
Yes.
And we're here in the cafeteria.
Yes.
So
yeah, so we might get that too.
Yeah, this will be a really good day.
Yeah, so. It'll be fun.
All right. Hey, I don't know where all the time goes, but it's always a pleasure
yep.
to, you know, to catch up with you. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to you again. Somebody bumped our table. That's okay. And
junior high kids, man.
I know, right? And, of course, some of us never got really past that age.
Oh, I know. Either. Yeah, I know. Talk
yeah,
to my husband.
That. Yeah, or me, right? We're going to continue. We're going to talk golf. Kindergarten, we're going to talk to Coach Otten, and we're also going to talk about the Ethics Bowl. I want to thank our sponsors, Race for Duration, McSports and Ernst Apparel, Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, Loudix Jewelry, Kaup Pharmacy, and the Hogan Camp Funeral Home. And we'll take a break. We'll be back here on 96.7 The Wave. It's back to school at Coldwater. We're in the cafeteria, as if you couldn't tell. All right, I want to thank our sponsors, and they include Ray's Refrigeration, Lalix Jewelry, Cal Pharmacy, Enyard Interior Touch, Hogan Camp Funeral Home, along with Rich Plumbing and Sweeterman Construction. Got Austin Kleinman with me, who does boys golf and also College Credit Plus Honors English. Austin, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Let's talk about you for a moment. Can you tell us, you know, where you grew up and what got you into education?
Yeah, I grew up about 30 minutes south in Versailles, Ohio. This is my third year teaching here at Coldwater, fresh meat out of Miami, Oxford. What got me into teaching was my dad. He's been doing it for a long, long time. I just kind of watched him growing up, and when it became time to make a decision what I wanted to do with the rest of my life, I said, hey, why not go back to school?
What did Dad have to say? Was he proud?
Yeah. Wanted
to be a teacher? Yeah.
Yeah, he was proud. He teaches sixth grade science down there at Versailles, so he was able to help guide me through some of the decision-making process. It was certainly nice to have someone who knew the world, knew the field, could help me get started.
So you ended up, with golf and also College Credit Plus Honors English. Golf, I'm going to assume, is a passion of yours. You play, right?
Yes, sir. I played golf in high school, started my freshman year, went all 4 years, and I kind of knew I wanted to coach golf eventually at some point in time. I think it's just a great sport to get the kids into. I think golf especially can help these young teenagers learn skills that maybe they're not so good at right off the bat, things like patience and self-control and decision-making. And as we all know, golf's a sport that hopefully you can play for most of your life, unlike some of the other high-contact sports that we have here in high school. So I love it.
Yeah, that's true. They don't really have a senior circuit for hockey, do they?
No. Unfortunately, not here in Ohio.
Or, yeah. How about, you know, for you, so you still play? How often do you get to get out there?
Well, I just got done having an ankle surgery, so I wasn't able to do as much this year. But I like to play whenever I can. I'd like to get back to doing a couple of rounds a week, if possible.
Excellent. Good for you. You know, for you, for coaching, you know, golfers, is the program growing? You get more kids every year?
Yeah, this is the largest team I've ever been a part of was this past year. We had 21 high school golfers for just the boys team alone. Last year we were close to 20 as well. The year before that we had 16. So numbers keep going up and I love to see it.
Excellent. And how long does the season go? When does it run from?
So we start typically that very first day of August, and then we'll end up, depending on how far into postseason we get, it could be the first, second week of October, somewhere around there. So it's a nice short season. We try to get as much golf as we can in those few weeks.
I assume also, like any other sport, it's the MAC. Competition's pretty good, isn't it?
It's really good. We were fighting the last couple of years trying to get that first place. We couldn't do it, and then this year we slid a little bit, but I'm really excited about next year. We got some great young golfers coming back who I know are going to be working their tails off during the summer, so really excited.
You also teach College Credit Plus Honors English, and so we'll also, just for the benefit of those who maybe had kids in school years ago, they're not familiar with it, what the CCP part of it comes down to is you've got students in the high school, they're already earning credit for college.
Yeah, absolutely. CCP is a great opportunity. I'm really happy that we're able to offer it now at Coldwater. I think this is the third year we've been doing it. So basically what CCP will give you is you can be in the high school classroom, and your high school teacher is technically a college professor at the same time. So when students take my CCP course, they have the option to enroll for CCP credit that they'll get through Wright State Lake Campus for doing the same coursework they would in the high school class itself. So we teach it like an honors course. We combine the college stuff with it and give the kids that opportunity. It helps them get a little step ahead in their college journey, depending on where they want to go, what they want to do after graduation.
It certainly, not only does it expand their mind, saves time and money, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It saves a ton of time, ton of money. So I think it's just a really great opportunity we're able to offer the kids.
Sometimes, you know, hindsight's always 20/20 when I think about College Credit Plus. Gosh, we could have done that 20 or 30 years ago, right?
Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
And, you know, when you're the one, you know, your subject, honors English. So let's hear about that. I mean, that definitely sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, it gives us the opportunity to do some fun stuff. So the college credit that we offer right now for the junior level is a writing credit. So if you were to look it up at the Wright State Lake Campus catalog, it'll show up as a research writing class, but we teach it as a whole year class. So students will get the opportunity to basically pick a subject, and they'll spend a couple months researching that subject. They'll do a whole write-up, a whole essay, and then I make them present on it. So give them some of those real-world skills, writing and presentation skills, public speaking skills that they might have to have in their post-graduation lives, whatever that ends up being. And then we also throw in quite a bit of literature, quite a bit of reading. We'll dig into Tolkien a little bit. He's one of my favorite authors. We'll dig into some classic British novels. I'm a bit of an old head, even though my age is relatively young. So we'll read Pride and Prejudice. We'll read Frankenstein. And then whenever we have time, we'll sneak a little bit of Shakespeare in there. It never hurts.
That is really neat. And, you know, I know that might not be everybody's cup of tea, but personally, I think that sounds like pretty interesting subject matter that would be a lot of fun. Not easy by any means, but it would be fun.
Yeah, I find it fun. I think it's, if nothing else, it just gives you a little bit of a different flavor from what I think kids nowadays get to see and interact with. And sometimes it can be fun to take a step back in time and just kind of dig into some texts that are a little bit older, but we still have definitely a lot of modern value for and stuff like that. So I really enjoy it.
And you talk about teaching them the skills of writing and public speaking. And, you know, even with all the digital technology and everything today, it's hard to think of anything you're going to go into that doesn't involve some kind of public speaking or semi-public speaking. And definitely writing's not going anywhere. You know, we may not always use a pen and paper anymore, but that having to compose something doesn't seem to be going anywhere.
Oh, absolutely. And that's something we like to dig into a little bit. You know, times have changed pretty drastically the last decade, and we're now integrating a bit more public speaking through writing. So having kids do things like writing up descriptions for maybe a social media post and showing them how you can kind of still be academic and professional and get your point across to people while still managing to have that kind of modern flair to things. That's something that we'll dabble with a little bit. So kids are still getting that real world modern experience that's going to help them in their lives, but still maintaining maybe that academic rigor that otherwise they're not getting when they're texting their friends and trying to figure out if they want to go to Taco Bell or McDonald's later.
Yeah, that's the one where you might be able to get away with using some shorthand and some other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a little bit. But also, to address the elephant in the room, do you talk to them about AI and explain you just can't tell AI, write my paper? This is not it. You can use it as a guide and suggestions, but you got to watch that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something that the whole administration here at Coldwater has been really focused on is how do we use AI as a tool and teach the kids how to use AI in a way that's going to continue to stimulate their growth and be more of a tool to them rather than a crutch just asking it to do everything for you. That can get in trouble sometimes. So that's something we dive into as well, not just in that honors course, but in a lot of our English and other subject curriculums. That's a whole district-wide curriculum change that we're really making.
Yeah, you talk about also some skills. If you don't use them, you lose them. And case in point, how many people that work as a cashier, I went through this too, where you can't really make change in your head anymore. The machine always did it for you, right? You lost it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You open up the drawer, and it's crazy to me that we're getting rid of the penny. Like, what's happening to the penny? I got so many of them sitting in my car right now, but, oh, man. Yeah, that's math literacy right there, learning how to tell time on an analog clock and see less and less kids wearing not digital watches nowadays. See a lot of smartwatches and stuff like that. Those are great, obviously, but kind of combining that old technology with the new technologies, something we're really focused on right now, be able to keep kids in a space where they can keep their brains strong, but also use all of these awesome modern inventions and technology and reading and math and everything else.
I think analog clock will always be cool. It's a nice style, to the point where I've actually seen some digital clocks that recreate the analog.
You know? I love them.
That's how that still works, you know?
Oh, yeah. Every time I see a grandfather clock somewhere, my heart just starts beating a little more. It's just something special about it to me.
I think it's going to stay around for the same reason records are still around. There's just certain things that are just aesthetically pleasing.
Absolutely.
All the way around.
I couldn't agree more.
And it's neat how you teach them that the AI is a tool. I think it's a great help. But, you know, you obviously... People should understand, if you didn't write something, people are going to know. You mentioned social media, and every time Meta offers other things, here's another way you can say this, and I look and I realize this. Nobody's going to believe that I wrote this because I don't talk that way. And so people are going to know that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the kids are starting to catch on to it, too. They can tell. They'll make fun of each other in class. Oh, that's a robot. That's not you talking.
Oh, yeah. And even some of the amazing, like the voiceover stuff they do, it makes mistakes. And boy, is it jarring. It takes you right out of it when you read certain things like that.
Oh, it really does. It really does. And sometimes those human mistakes can actually add a little flavor to things. And I don't mind them every once in a while, but it's getting to the point where we can tell the AI something that you're not going to avoid it. You got to be able to use it. Being able to use it properly can definitely be a benefit.
It sure can. A lot of questions that can be answered quickly and... you know, a lot of ways that words can be checked for spelling. You know, that connected age we're living in, you can't escape it, but you can learn to use it in a sense, right?
Absolutely.
And also, not everything old school is cool. I don't miss slide rule. I don't miss the slide rule.
Oh, geez.
I don't miss those too much.
I still remember going into my principal's office in elementary school, and she had the wooden stamps.
Oh, yeah.
Hit the ink pad and stamp it, and that was the coolest thing ever to me. When I was little, I always told myself, I'm going to have a stamp collection. That's just the coolest thing ever. And then a couple years later, emojis came out, and that all went out the window.
That's right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and I, you know what? I hate to tell you, the ditto machine's not coming back either.
No, it's not.
That's all right. But, you know, for you, I'm sure, you know, you're going to get that satisfaction with a lot of students as you continue through your career. And, you know, you'll be able to see how they're doing in their careers, right? They'll hopefully get back in touch with you and say, hey, thanks. You were a great teacher. This is what I'm doing now.
I mean, that's the goal. And it's really cool. I've only been here 3 years already, but I can already see that. It's so neat to watch kids their first, second, third years out of high school, regardless of what they're doing. If they're at college, we've got a couple kids that went military, which is awesome. And a lot of kids in the workforce, and you see them around, and you think to yourself, man, making a difference feels good.
It does. And I think sometimes that's the only thing. Sometimes people will say things like, I don't know how to thank you. And it's like, oh, you have.
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
That's what it's about. So I thank you so much. Austin, good to meet you. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank
we're,
you.
We're going to go in the other direction and talk to some kindergarten teachers yet. I always consider kindergarten teachers to be angels. You have a room full of five-year-olds. I could not. But they do it. They make it look easy. And we're going to talk with them next. I want to thank our sponsors again. TNT Auto, Loudoux Jewelry, Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, Enyard Interior Touch, Risch Plumbing, and the Hogan Camp Funeral Home as we continue back to school in Coldwater on 96.7 The Wave. Hey, welcome back here as we are back to school at Coldwater. I want to thank our sponsors, including Ray's Refrigeration, McSports, and Ernst Apparel, Playmore Lanes and Adventure Golf, along with Loudoux Jewelry. We're going to talk kindergarten this time with Casey Richling and Ashley Klingshern, starting with Casey first. Hey, thanks for coming. Good to see you.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Casey, share with us, if you would, how long you've been here. What got you into education?
So this is my 11th year here at, I should say my 11th year of teaching. I was at a school prior to coming to Coldwater. And I just wanted to come back to Coldwater because this is my where I graduated from. So it's great to be back home. This is my 6th year back at Coldwater. So I've been here a little while now. And just got into teaching because I love working with the little ones and seeing them grow throughout the year and their minds blossom. And I might be a little biased, but I truly do feel like it's the best grade level. They love coming to school every day. They think we're the best humans. So every day is an adventure, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there's certainly an innocence to that age. I still remember kindergarten, what a great teacher I had, and you're right. There's a lot of unpleasantries in life you haven't found out yet at 5 years old.
That's
so
right. Yeah,
things are still good. I guess when you put it that way, that's great. And then you just have to learn to deal with their energy, right?
Yes. Actually, today the energy is very high. We were talking about that on our way over. They're a ball full of energy. And the class that we have this year is they're going to be a close-knit group, I believe. They all are just so much fun, and they get along really well. They're already like brothers and sisters. So they're great personalities in this class this year, and they're all just so much fun to be around.
That's for sure. And for you, if you can also share with us kind of what is the difference between the beginning and the end of kindergarten? In what ways do they change? I know you teach them a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, so coming into kindergarten, they are just like little preschoolers. And, you know, we often refer to them as just our little babies because they do. They come in and they need to learn absolutely everything. So if we could make a list of everything that we need to teach them those first few weeks, we would have pages full of things that we need to teach them. How to use the restroom, how to walk in a line, how to use the cafeteria, because this, as we can see here, this is a big scary place with lots of noise and sound. So that can be a little intimidating to the little ones. And then as the year goes on, not diving into the curriculum too much, but we start to learn letters and letter sounds, and we start tying all that together, and we form these little readers to get ready for first grade. And it's a lot, but it's awesome seeing them come in as little ones, and then when they leave as little readers and writers, it's amazing to see, and that's definitely my favorite part of kindergarten.
Yeah, and people should know, kindergarten is, it's full school. It's all day, every day, and a lot of the things, I mean, years ago, you're getting into stuff now that probably didn't start to get taught until the first grade, I imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely different than it was, you know, years ago. And, you know, even in the beginning, we just still do a little rest time. We have about 10 minutes of just rest. And in the beginning of the year, we still do have some of the little ones that fall asleep because they are just exhausted from what the day brings. And but, yeah, it's definitely very different than it used to be. But a lot of other really good things that go into it as well.
I tell you what, one couple things they need to bring back for adults are naps and recess.
Very much so. We need that rest time just as much as they do in the beginning of the year because we're exhausted. Yes. And our brains need to rest as well.
All right. And to talk with Ashley for a moment, to share with us a bit about your background and how long you've been doing this.
Well, I was lucky enough to come to Coldwater Schools with Casey about 6 years ago, so I'm lucky to have a teacher team that is super supportive, and the kids do a really nice job building that independence as the school year goes on. It's just great to see them grow.
And where did you come from originally, and what got you into teaching?
Coldwater is also my alma mater, too, so wanted to come back here. My family's here. My kids are here, and it's a great place to raise our littles.
Have you had some of your own kids come through school yet?
Yep, I have 4 of my own kids here currently, and it's nice to see people I've graduated with. Their friends are coming through, and, you know, they're at my parent-teacher conferences with me now, so it's a nice full circle, yep.
And did you get to teach any of your kids, or did they end up in other kindergartens?
Yes, no. No, thank you. They're lucky to get to another kindergarten teacher.
We Ashley actually team. Gets to handle mine this year, so that, she gets my
be,
child.
That's got to be a lot of fun, though, when you get together and see each other in passing.
It really is. It really is. It's so nice. They're so different when they're at home versus when they're at school, so I love those stories where they're a little more rotten, and they do a great job in the school setting, so it's really nice to compare.
Yeah, sometimes I'm sure when you do parent-teacher conferences, you get that shock. Wait a minute, my kid did that?
Absolutely.
Why can't he do that at home, right?
Yep. We also tell them that we ask a lot of them throughout the day, so they are sitting and listening a lot throughout the day. So if they need a little bit of extra exercise after school, that's always important too.
There you go. Yeah. How about also, for a kindergarten teacher, when does your day start? What time are you up and at them for a day's work?
Well, our kindergarten day starts at 8:15. Our bell rings. The kids are in their seats. They're working on something, just trying to wake up and, chit-chat with their friends. Like Casey said earlier, this group is going to be very close. They're like brother and sister. They love to talk and have conversations with each other, and we really do love that most of the day.
How long does kindergarten go on for, for the day?
Well, the school's over about 3 o'clock.
3
so,
o'clock? Okay, yeah,
that's... We're here all day. Our schedule is very full. We do lots of academics focused on the morning time because that's when they're more, able and ready to be with us. So afternoon has lunch and recess and specials, so they'll get to go to that.
Seems this is all good stuff for them to learn as they get ready for the later grades, right?
Oh, that's right.
For you, you get them when they're awfully little, and obviously you probably see them around the school or even out and about with their families. Do they have to be patient with you and say, wait, give me a minute, because you're kind of grown up now, right?
Yeah, it is so nice to see them. Like now we're, at first grade, second grade lunch. It's nice to see our littles grow up, and they always remember us. They'll give us a high five or a nice hug. It's a lot of fun.
That's pretty neat, especially, I think when it comes down to it, you don't forget your kindergarten teacher. I know I haven't. How about you, right?
No, I don't forget mine either. I agree. And that is something I always say to them in the beginning of the year is, you will always remember me. And my family likes to joke that when we're out in the public, I'm famous because they all run soccer. We're at U Soccer and they're all running up to you. And it's a cool experience seeing them outside of school as well.
For sure. Now, for both of you, since you're alumni, when you got here to start teaching, did you get any former teachers that are now your colleagues?
Yeah, there's quite a few of my teachers who are still here,
yeah.
That's got to be pretty neat for both sides.
Yes, it really is. It's definitely a different working with them versus when they were your teacher, but I haven't worked next door to any of my former teachers, but we see them a lot at the meetings. So a lot of the high school teachers were teachers that Ashley and I had going through school, and some of the middle school teachers as well. So and they were amazing, and so that was one of the things that brought us back here. So they were definitely to thank for that.
Excellent. Certainly want to thank both of you for being on. It's really neat to hear about what kindergarten is like now, because some of us, kindergarten was half a day. I think we worked on things like write your name or write a, it was very, very basic. And now, they're learning to read, and that's pretty neat stuff.
Absolutely. They are expected to do a lot of things, and they really do rise up to that level. And they do a really nice job getting the routines and things figured out. So it's great.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Good to see
you. Hey, thank you.
Hey, thank you also to our sponsors, including TNT Auto, Schruderman Construction, Rich Plumbing, and Cal Pharmacy, as we continue on 96.7 The Wave. It's back to school time here in Coldwater. I am your host, Kevin Sandler. Thank you to Race Refrigeration, McSports and Ernst Apparel, Claymore Lanes and Adventure Golf, Lobbock's Jewelry, and at Cal Pharmacy. What a pleasure to welcome Coldwater head football coach Chip Otten here. And Chip, first of all, coach, good to see you again. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kevin. It's kind of cool to see all the kids at lunchtime and see all the different teachers and administrators and coaches talk, I guess. It's kind of fun.
And tell you what, everybody's in a good mood. Of course they are. It's lunchtime, right?
That's right, yeah.
Who's not in a good mood for that?
Kids get a little break and get a little recess here in a few minutes when they get done. And And so good times at lunch.
All right. If you can share with us a bit, we'll start with your background, how long you've been coaching now, and kind of what got you into this, why you enjoy it so much that you still do it today.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess way back, my dad was a longtime coach, and my older siblings were involved in sports. So just from 3-4 years old, I started going to practice. I don't know about 3 or 4, but probably 4, 5, 6 years old, started going to practices with my dad, and just kind of led one thing into another, and then sports was something that I really enjoyed, so played all the way through, junior high school, college, and so then I just started, had a really good health teacher in college that turned me on to the health field, so I taught health. And then, of course, I enjoyed coaching. So I'm in my 43rd year of coaching football over all these years. And so just 1 year at a time, and as long as I feel good and enjoy going to practice every day, I'll keep doing it.
And also, over that 43 years, I know that this is kind of a hard question, but in general, can you talk to us about how much the game has changed over that time? I mean, it'd be interesting to see what it would have been like all those years ago versus now, right?
Yeah, good question. I guess at its core, hasn't really, for me, hasn't changed really that much. The basics, obviously, a lot more, seems like a lot more rules and a lot more protection types of things that, you know, to try to protect the players from obviously major injuries. I guess back in the day, as far as X's and O's, it's just become more mental and more complicated, I guess, with all the formations and passing and all the different things, and the technology is huge, so you can scout better and digest and look at other teams better and try to strategize, I guess, better because of all the technology has really helped over the years to make it, I guess, better and sometimes maybe more difficult and sometimes more time-consuming, maybe, depending on how you look at that.
Yeah, I was going to say, everything you just described seems like it could work against you, and perhaps you've had some great plays that have worked for you, but they figure you out a little bit sooner?
Oh, no question, yeah. And so being at the same place for several years, and several of our coaches in our league, we kind of know each other, and you kind of know what you're going to get. And so you're trying to find new little things that can help you maybe get that edge, or to change something, or to skew the tendencies. And you throw a few things in or hold a few things back when you feel like you can, to say, okay, well, we're going to save that for so-and-so, or we're going to try this or try that, just to maybe skew some of those numbers.
How about also, how everybody has to learn a play, that if one person isn't doing what they're supposed to do, can tank the whole thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. It happened to us last week. We didn't play great on offense. Our defense played pretty well, but offensively we didn't play very, very well. And part of that was because of assignments. We have a tailback that got hurt three, four weeks ago. Our best running back, and then our tight end was out last week, and we didn't know he was going to be out till Tuesday or Wednesday. And so some of the guys that you bring in the formations and the personnel packaging gets a little bit messed up, and then you might have a guy who's playing full-time defense, and now he's playing more offense and doesn't get the amount of reps that he normally would get, and sometimes that causes some of those issues mentally.
For sure, and also, what we hear about sometimes adjustments. What goes on, in a locker room at halftime? I know there's always probably some good things to talk about and some things that need to be worked on, right?
Yeah, good question. Obviously, it depends on how you're doing, right? Sometimes very little changes, and you just say, hey, let's keep doing what we're doing. But other times, basically, there's kind of two groups, one group of defensive guys coaches, and then offensively, I'll sit down with Corey Klinke and Jack Hemmelgarn, and we chart the first half, and we look at all the play. Hey, what was good? What was not so good? And then we'll come up with a list of runs, passes, and specials from our main list that we start the game with, and say, okay, this seems to be pretty good. They did this against these formations, so this play should work if we execute. And so we'll make a list, kind of a new list at halftime. Same plays, but maybe a little more focused on what we want to try to do.
You know, in a lot of ways, I've heard people say that football can almost be like chess, right? In the sense that, you're trying to outsmart, outmaneuver, think ahead, fool them if need be, or in some cases, you're just trying to run them over, right?
Exactly. And sometimes it doesn't matter what you do if the other team is physically a lot better than you, or if you're better physically. But those games that the physical matchups are pretty even. There's so many little things that people would, you know, if you're just a casual observer, you would never notice on something as simple as what foot you're stepping with and what side of the body your head is on the guy you're trying to block, and all those. There's so many little things that can change, like you said earlier, from a play really working and a play not working.
Sometimes also you'll see a play called where somebody is so wide open on a pass, and you wonder, how did that happen? And it could be, I'm sure, either missed assignment or they fooled everybody. You know, they had them cut one way and cut the other way, and defense didn't follow them.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of that is communication on the defense part, especially with coverages. When you see a guy get open, a lot of times you see them look at each other after they're wide open, and the two defensive backs will look at each other and, you know, hold their hands up and say, hey, I thought you were helping me, and or whatever, and you get a lot of that. I went to the Bowling Green game last Saturday, and they ran a reverse throwback pass. It was great. So, I think it was a 65-yard touchdown, wide open. The receiver was on a reverse, and then he threw it back to the guy who handed it to him. And just like you said, they just, you know, you get your, with all the reverses and trickery, I guess, you get the defense's eyes in one spot and you trick them sometimes.
I love the play where it might be fourth and short or something. Quarterback is in the shotgun and hands the ball off. They bury the running back in the backfield, but the running back never had the ball.
Right.
The quarterback is off to the races, you know, because they fooled him, right?
Right, right. You know, we have... And that goes into those tendencies, and so maybe you've run a certain play on short yardage several times, and that's what they see, and so then we call it like a naked bootleg or a dump pass. You fake the run, and we did it last year in the state finals. We ran a dive that we had run several times, and then just threw a pass on a 32 down near the goal line, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't.
And sometimes you get these games where, you know, you have a play that's so successful, you're pounding the ball down their throat, so to speak, that you and sometimes the coordinators, the coaches say, look, we're going to keep running this until they can stop us because, right, I mean, why abandon what works? I think we see that sometimes,
too. Absolutely, yeah. So, you know, there's certain lots of different philosophies of, we call those ground and pound teams that want to hog the clock, and if you're physical enough to do that, you know, you come back and just keep running those same plays, and you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it, I guess.
Yeah,
sometimes, and sometimes it seems so simple, but if you're we call it Jimmies and Joes. If our Jimmies are a lot better than your Joes, you don't need to do a whole lot of different things.
I think also something you can talk about too, I'm sure. Over those years, you've had certainly siblings, offspring of players you have coached in the past. Now you've got their sons and things like that, and got to be pretty interesting, right?
Sometimes. Yeah, all of our coaches except one were Coldwater players and played for either Coach Reed or myself, and now their sons are coming around. Our eighth graders our eighth graders have three players that are sons of our coaches now. So coming up next year, they're going to be coaching their own sons, and all those coaches are really could be my sons or close to being my sons. My son-in-law is one of our coaches. I got the opportunity to coach three of my sons, so that was fun and unique, and sometimes maybe even a little stressful sometimes when you coach your son.
Oh, I bet it is, because I know you're dad at all times, but this is different, right? You're the coach in that sense, you know?
It's definitely a little different. You got a fine line of being tougher on them maybe, or make sure that they're earning what they get. And if they're really, really good, it's easy. And if they're not so good, it's easy. When they're, you know, a medium type player, you know, then that's that fine line of, do I play him? Do I not play him? Is he good enough? He's not good enough. Those types of things.
Do you also find you maybe teach players that it's great to have talent, but maybe nothing replaces that effort, right? You really have to. Like a player that maybe doesn't have as much talent, but they work hard. Right?
Oh, absolutely. That's most of the players right there. And so we have a phrase called TED, and the acronym TED, and the T is toughness, effort, and the D is discipline. And when you can put those three things together, you can win some games when you're not maybe as talented. And if you have a team that has a lot of talent and can use that TED, we call it TED, you got a good shot at being really good.
All right, Coach, always good to see you. Thank you so much for stopping by. It wouldn't be back to school without you here, so we thank you for your time today.
Well, good. Thanks, Kevin. Yep, I'm here a lot, so I help substitute and hang around a lot and like to see the kids.
Excellent. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back. It's back to school here at Coldwater. I want to thank Loudox Jewelry along with Cal Pharmacy, Risch Plumbing, and TNT Auto as we will talk with Thad Forstoffel. And also we have with us senior Caden Sager to talk about what they call the Ethics Bowl. Thad, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
It's good to see you again, Kevin.
Let's hear about, the Ethics Bowl. Let's bring everybody up to speed on what that's all about.
Yes, we are in our 11th, 12th year of heading to the Ethics Bowl competition at University of Findlay. And this is a really great opportunity for high school students to really jump into what we consider to be legal cases throughout the United States and even the world. And so everyone always asks, what is ethics? And what is this Ethics Bowl? It's the closest thing I can tell you. It is debate team. But it's not debate. It's actually bringing all sides of a story together, all sides of a legal case. And then what the students have to do is actually, they have to line up basically and against another team and another school, and they debate the case and bring all angles to it. And our students have to be really up to date on Supreme Court cases, appellate cases, you name it, all kinds of social issues that exist in our country.
And so what are some of the topics that perhaps you may get into or that even you have gotten into?
So the cases this year, and again, they're always challenging no matter what, but the cases we jump into this year may involve law and privacy, serving self-intent, public health. A big case this year is religious freedom, a very controversial case that's been around for a number of years and always pops back up. And we deal with cases involving artificial intelligence and also other technology issues as well.
All right. Now, some of these, it's not so much about whose view is right, but more how it's presented, I imagine, right?
Absolutely. So if you try to go in there and debate the other team, who's right and who's wrong, you will not be able to do well in this Ethics Bowl competition. You have to bring all sides. One of our things that we talk about is we never leave a stone unturned. Every aspect of a case needs to be addressed. And that's addressed through the questionnaire session of it, also through just the actual presentation itself.
Some of these, they're controversial. They don't make good family dinner conversation in the holidays. But for something like this, and especially for young people, what a great idea, though, right? Get them to start thinking, right?
Yes. And the colleges have done this for about 35 years. But the high school started roughly about 15 years ago. And Coldwater heads up to University of Findlay. We're the smallest school that competes in this competition every year. We go against Hilliards, the Hilliards of the world, and Worthingtons, the biggest Division I schools.
I bet you do really good, though.
We recently we've struggled a little bit just because the diversity of our team is not maybe near as much, but we do know our content.
That's what it's about.
But yeah, we are the smallest school. I think the next size school up is about 1,000 students in a high school.
Excellent. Let's hear about, you know, for Caden, how long have you been involved in this?
This is my fourth year in it. I've been in it since freshman year.
Okay, you're a veteran.
Yeah. If you consider
What is it about this that keeps bringing you back?
Really just being able to be more open-minded about public cases and public ideas. You can go in there and think you already have an open mind, but at the end of each case, you're going to realize new aspects that you would never even consider. It allows young minds in high school to elaborate further on just public cases that they may not get the chance to see on a daily basis.
And for you, have you ever had situations where your own personal views got changed from some of the competing you've done?
Most certainly, yes. There's been cases where we've gone in there and we've, similar to debate team, where we've thought our opinion was maybe the only one, our personal views. But once you leave that, once you are done with that case, and once you get the other questions from the opposing team, you really do learn all the different views. And there are cases where I have left the room and I have had total different opinions as when I walked in.
Yeah, I think something also happens is we learn that perhaps those we disagree with have the opinion they have because that is the way that this has impacted their life. In other words, you might not agree with somebody, but you also kind of acknowledge, well, if I had that happen to me, I might feel the same way. But it didn't, so I don't agree. But you might have a little more empathy and respect for them, right?
Correct, yes.
All right. As long as they don't root for certain sports teams. That's a deal breaker, right? I'm kidding. But, you know, it's neat how that's going to serve you well because, on a serious note, no matter what you do for a career, you just can't go around thinking you're right all the time. That's not going to work, right?
It doesn't work. And I wish more people would understand that when you actually study ethics, it's not about right or wrong. It's usually bringing ideas to the table so you can solve problems, solutions to issues. And this is, in these cases, we often see that these are a lot of governmental cases. And so much... Actually, a lot nowadays, we see just one side to say, this is it, this is the position we're going to take. And Ethics Bowl brings these kids together, 17, 18-year-olds, in some cases, we have 15-year-old freshmen. And what they learn is that once all sides are brought together, then solutions can be handled from there.
That's for sure. And sometimes you also, find out that when you really need to come together, you will, and you'll drop that stuff in favor of let's solve the problem. And ethics is so interesting. Like, for example, one of your cases, like calling Dr. Alexa, sounds really fascinating to me. What's that one like?
So it's a case where artificial intelligence will take over a lot of your potential doctor calls. So what you end up having is you'll ask Alexa, these are my symptoms, so on and so forth, and it's going to give you an answer. Now, the problem with that is, I don't know how many of us would take, AI's answer. Well, this is it. This is what I got. So give me my prescription. It's not going to work that way. And so what we say is, okay, let's bring everyone to the table on this. What can doctors do to help artificial intelligence and vice versa? And so it brings all angles to this and not just allowing AI to take over.
That's true for all I know, maybe it'll change someday, but AI, seems to do a great job of searching for answers, learning about you, tailoring the response. I don't know about emotions. If the AI might tell me, Alexa might tell me she's in a good mood, but not really. It's just what they're programmed to tell you, you know?
Yeah, and this is why you have to have experts manage AI, especially in medicine or really any other field, instead of just letting it have it take over and say, this is going to be our answers for everything.
All right, very good stuff there. Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can go wrong if you ask the internet for recipes. That's usually safe. Major medical decisions. I don't know about that, Caden. What do you think, huh?
I mean, there are certainly cases where AI can, in fact, improve the work of some careers. But in medical fields...
Yeah. Not replace it, right?
It cannot replace it, but it can aid with it.
maybe that seems to be the total theme of AI, that it can be a wonderful tool or an aid. It's not automatic pilot, right?
Yep. It will never replace exactly, but it is a very, very good tool when it is used properly.
Excellent. So for you, I'm sure over the years you have seen the competition get better. You've probably seen your students grow a lot. This is like if we talk about exercise or weightlifting to build up your strength, this sounds like good brain exercise to me.
The amount of research that goes into this is phenomenal. We actually keep a Google Doc of all the notes, and we end up with, Caden, you can help me on this, but we probably end up with about maybe 20, 30 pages of notes that our students have to read through, and just the amount of knowledge they have to understand in all these cases. I mean, it's almost preparing them in some ways for law school, but it's also not, too. It's just about general knowledge of all different social issues that exist in our nation or other places as well.
And for you someday, Caden, what's your career plans? What would you like to do?
Once I graduate from high school, I want to continue studying culinary arts and hospitality.
Excellent. I'll tell you, that's a good career that we'll always need.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, good to see you again. I don't know where the time goes sometimes, but it's a lot of fun to get into this, especially, you know, some of these pretty amazing, topics that you have here. Some of them that we deal with all the time. You know, when you do the news, number three, that public record, private lives, is a big one for sure. Gentlemen, thank you so much. I also want to thank our sponsors, and they include Race Refrigeration, McSports, Ernst Apparel, Claymore Lanes and Adventure Golf, Lavix Jewelry, and Cal Pharmacy. I want to thank Lee Kieser, our producer. Now, tomorrow we'll be back. We're going to have Jenny Alec and several runners for Girls Cross Country. We're going to talk girls golf and some math courses, baseball. The FFA will be here. Boys and girls bowling. Now, you know who my guest is going to be for that, right? That's got to be Rick Hardings. And then we'll also talk boys basketball and health with Will Hoskins. And so much more, for the rest of the week. So, again, we'll wrap it up for now. And we'll be back tomorrow on 96.7 The Wave.